Okay, let's just pray and we'll get straight into it. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we come again, Lord, before you. And Lord, you've told us to have an expectancy. You've told us to desire spiritual gifts. You've told us, Lord, to desire spiritual gifts, Lord. That's what you tell us in your word. And we stand here tonight, Lord, and the people who have came tonight, Lord, obviously they desire to flow in the spiritual gifts because they're here, Lord. And you said in your word that those who delight yourself in the Lord, you will give them the desires of their heart. That's what you said in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, Lord. Those who would delight themselves in you, you would give them the desires of their heart. So I just pray and believe for your body, Lord, be so equipped and so ready and so penetrate the heavens, Lord God, that we could receive the things of God tonight and the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge. Lord, I know it's as you will, and I know it's when you will, Lord, but I know that you're willing, Jesus. So I say thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I'm a vessel here tonight. Speak through me. Let the anointing pierce our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And let the gifts of the Spirit be manifest tonight, Lord, as you will and you purpose, at any point in time in this service. But I say, Lord, I give it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we're on gifts of the Spirit. Isn't this a good course? Now, don't be all enthusiastic about it. Isn't this a good course? Right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Anything that you want from God, you have to have faith to tap into it, right? Everything. I mean, that's why people talk about faith messages, but hey, God's a faith God. That's what he is. He's a faith God. We're a faith people. The just shall live by faith and move by faith. Everything we receive from God by faith. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So whatever you preach, guess what's coming? Faith is coming from that subject, whatever's preached. And that's why God wants these subjects preached in the churches. Why? Because faith comes to our heart so that faith can rise in our heart and we can have an expectation to step into that realm with God to start believing and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. The world is waiting. The world is waiting. You'll probably hear some stories tonight about some things that's happened over the last week, since we left here last week, some supernatural things. But the world is waiting for the supernatural gifts. And if we, the church, don't rise up and don't give them what they need, they will go to your soothsayers, crystal ball readers, and all the other junk that's out there, right? Because there is counterfeits of the true. And the reality is, that's how you know that it's true, because if there's a counterfeit, then there's obviously a real, right? So there's nothing to be, you know, afraid of and saying, oh, that, what if the devil, never mind what the devil's doing. God is not a counterfeit. God is the God of truth, and he's the one that brings these gifts into the body so that the body can rise up and be fully equipped like the soldier, ready for battle in every situation. So let's have a look again now. Lesson 3, gifts of the Spirit. A little bit of revision from last week. The gifts do not function to suit man, but as the Spirit wills. And we'll go over this and over this and over this. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, I know that he's willing. Because if the Bible tells me, right, we go into Corinthians 12 all the time, and it says, desire spiritual gifts. So if he's telling you to desire spiritual gifts, then he's willing. He is willing to manifest his glory, his presence, and his gifts in the midst of us. And you remember what I said? They're not our personal gifts. They are the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. They are his gifts. They are the gifts of the Spirit. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They manifest because he shows up. That's why we have to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. He is God, the Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Trinity. And it's him who shows up and manifests those gifts in our life as he wills and as he purposes. And you hear statements like people saying, I want to be more anointed. I want to walk in more power. I want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? The gifts of the Spirit are actually for a purpose. Did you miss that? People say, I want to be more anointed. The anointing is for a purpose. It's not for us to sit back in the laurels and just to be, sit back in the couch and just enjoy and be more anointed. The anointing is to do a job. The gifts are to do a job. They are there to reveal things, to bring the wisdom of God on the scene, to bring revelation knowledge, to bring people to the knowledge of Christ, bless the world, bless the church, and glorify God. So the gifts of God are for a purpose. You know, I don't sit back and think, oh, I want some gifts. For what? So that God can be manifest. So our heart has to be for what? Loving God, but loving people. We've got to love people enough to penetrate God for these gifts that we can be purposeful in our sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will never be able to share the gospel in a great way, in a powerful way, when it comes to other nations and other religions and whatever, because they're so rooted and grounded in their beliefs, hard to penetrate. But when you're flowing in the gifts of the Spirit and you start revealing things by the Spirit of God, it changes everything. It's a game changer. The gifts of the Spirit are a game changer. So let's have a look. So man does not own these gifts. They are manifested as God sees fit. The word of wisdom is only a segment of the overall wisdom of God. And that's what we were talking about last week. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, they are words. They're not the overall wisdom of God. They are words. They are segments. The wisdom is a segment of looking into the future and revealing the future mind of God in a situation. That's what the word of wisdom is. Some gifts operate alongside other gifts. Sometimes individual gifts operate together. Look at my hand. Right? Five fingers. Or four fingers and a thumb. Right? They don't operate individually. They operate together. I mean, I can't pick that page up with one finger. Right? I need two fingers. Right? So they work together. The gifts you'll find, as we go on in the teaching, you'll find that the gifts are very closely linked, and you'll find that they'll interweave with each other, especially the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits. They're very closely linked, because remember when I said last week that they're in categories of three that say something, three that do something, and three that reveal something. Well, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, they reveal things, right? And you'll find that they work closely together. So that's what we're talking about. For example, when the Lord spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos, remember the story on the Isle of Patmos? John was one of Jesus' disciples, apostle of God. In fact, historians tell you they tried to kill John so many times and couldn't kill him, right? I mean, he was the apostle of love. Obviously, he walked in love that much. The power of God was all over, and they couldn't deal with him. So they sent him to the Isle of Patmos, right? And sent him over there. Man, I've been to the Greek islands. I don't know why they sent him there, because the Greek islands are beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful, right? But he's on the Isle of Patmos, like, you know, away from everything. No contact with the churches, because he's on an island, right? He's on an island, separated from everything, so that he can't do his job, which they think... can't do his job. And the Bible says in Revelations chapter 1, it talks about that on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. Now, there's a key here, because you need to read these stories. I'm just going to try and go over some stuff tonight, but you need to go over the stories. The stories are very important, because you grasp it when you go over line upon line. So it says, on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. There's a key right there. He was in the Spirit. So what he must have been doing to be in the Spirit, he must have been talking to the Lord. He must have been praying. He must have been worshiping. He was doing something to get into that place. He was in the Spirit. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they work through your spirit, but it's like when you're in the Spirit. You've seen the last 2 weeks, as I've been preaching, there's men and women in business preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden it happened twice in the last 2 weeks. Why? Because I'm in that place. It's the same with us. We need to be prepared. We need to have our hearts need to be prepared. We need to be walking with Jesus. We need to be so conscious of who's dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit. So anyway, on the Lord's day, it says, John was in the Spirit, and he heard a voice, and he turned around, and he saw Jesus, right? Tells you he actually saw Jesus, and he explains the whole thing in Revelations. And then Jesus starts revealing to him words of knowledge about the state of the churches. There were seven different churches. He was revealing to John the state that the churches were actually in. John had no way of knowing the state of the churches were in because he's in the Isle of Patmos, separated from everything. And remember what the word of knowledge is? The word of knowledge is what? It's revealing a fact that something's already happened or something that's going on right now or something in the past. It was a word. So Jesus was revealing some stuff to him. But then Jesus goes on and starts revealing not just what was happening at the church at that point in time. He starts revealing and starts giving them words of wisdom and giving them some answers for the churches for the future. Everything we're talking about is supernatural. They are the gifts of the Spirit and they are supernatural. They are to prepare the church. They are to prepare your life, to prepare your family and everyday life. These gifts don't just work when you come into the four walls of a building where we call church. We are the church. Did you get that, people? We are the church. We come together and we set an atmosphere of worship and praise and the preaching of the word, and there's an atmosphere that you can step into. Well, that atmosphere can happen anywhere because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you leave the church, Jesus doesn't, you know, like stay here and you go home on your own. He goes with you because he's in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I believe that we are not operating in these things because we don't have an expectation. Remember the little story I told you? When God told me, when I was praying one day, and he says, you expect that when you go to church, every time you go to the prayer meetings, you expect to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And I did. And I operated. But the Lord said to me, how about expecting to flow in the gifts of the Spirit in your own household? Where you can have a word for wisdom or a word of knowledge for your wife when she's going through a hard time, or your children to prevent something from happening. So what God was trying to say to me was, or telling me, have an expectation outside of the four walls that you are the church, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, because he wants to minister through you and show you things to come. Because that's what the Holy Ghost, that's what the Bible says in John 14. He'll show you things to come, the Holy Spirit. So that's John, right? So it says, for example, the Lord spoke to John at the Isle of Patmos. Jesus appeared to John and told him about the present condition of the seven churches in Asia Minor. This was a manifestation of the word of knowledge. Manifestation of the word of knowledge, what the condition was. The Lord went on to give John a word of wisdom. He instructed each church what to do in the future according to his plan and purpose for each one. So he gave them the word of wisdom and gave John instruction what they should do in the future. Preparing the church. We need these gifts within the church to prepare us for the future. I mean, we listen to some, you know, some great preaching, teaching stuff that we, in a certain, you know, lines of people of faith that I listen to. And the other night I was listening, and one guy was preaching, teaching, and saying that how, and over the years, as he's been ministering, there's many times the Lord has showed him a year in advance his ministry. A year in advance. See, we're not expecting things. That's why we're not getting it. A year in advance, he should have rolled in front of him by the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and rolled in front of him a year in advance. And he says, and once upon a time, it was 2 years in advance. He was shown 2 years of the ministry, where it was going in 2 years. So what about our own lives? Our ministries, our own life. God has the ability to reveal these things. I met, probably can't get the whole story tonight, but met Tracy all through supernatural gifts. Supernatural words of wisdom, words of knowledge flowing in my life when I was in Nigeria way back in 1987. So the different purposes for the manifestation of the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom can be revealed on a number of different purposes, but in each case it's still a manifestation of the Spirit. So the word of wisdom can be revealed for a number of different purposes. Different purposes. The word of wisdom, it can be so many different purposes that God reveals something to us. The word of wisdom can be conditional. So here's one of the stories that we're going to talk about tonight, and we'll show you what conditional is. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, remember Isaiah the prophet? Now, you'll find, we've talked a little bit about this, that the prophets of God, You're usually fine within a prophet's ministry, right? Remember, prophesying doesn't make you a prophet, but a prophet is an office. But with the prophet's office, you usually find three gifts very much function very strongly in a prophet's ministry. It's discerning of spirits, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom very strongly within that ministry. It's attached to that ministry. So here's the prophet Isaiah. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." I mean, real word of exhortation, eh? He comes in, you know, and tells King, "Hey, you're about to die. Put your house in order. You're going to die." Wouldn't you just freak your box? I mean, somebody comes in and starts prophesying that to you. And this was a renowned prophet speaking this to him. So he knew he was in trouble, right? Now, it's not on the page here, but you need to read the whole story. And when I said they're conditional, see, sometimes we think that God doesn't change his mind. That's a misconception. God will change his mind. He is the God that changes not. He doesn't change his word. His word is eternal. But there are certain things that can cause God to change his mind in circumstances and situations. This is one of them. God prophesied through Isaiah and told him this guy's going to die. This guy repented for whatever he was doing, and wept before the Lord and got before the Lord and sought the Lord and says, "Lord, what about this and what about this? And I've served you, da-da-da-da-da." And it says the Lord repented and the Lord gave him another 15 years. In fact, Isaiah was on his way back out, right? After he gave the word to the king, he's on his way out into the court. Read the story. He walks his way out into the court. As he's walking, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and says, "Hey, go back and tell him. Go back and tell him." I mean, can you imagine, you know, "Hey, false prophet, I've told you that now." I mean, that sounds like confusion to me, doesn't it, right? What is God double-minded? See? But Isaiah knew the voice of God, knew the word of the Lord. Go back and tell him certain things and tell him he'll have another 15 years. So there is times that God can change his mind, right? In fact, probably isn't the stories. You remember Jonah? Jonah goes, "No, there's no way I'm going into that town and telling them such and such, because I know that you, if they repent, you'll change your mind," right? Jonah wasn't having none of it. So that's how he ended up in a ship, get kicked over in a whale's belly, right? Until he had enough of the whale's belly and God spit him out through that whale. Went and done what he'd done, and God, he'd done what God said he would do. God basically repented. And so there is times that God can change his mind about a situation depending on the circumstance. So it can be used to set apart those called for special ministry. So we're looking at, what is the word of wisdom for? Different manifestations, different things that it does. Because that he was showing him what was his future was, and this was going to happen. Then he put certain things into play, and his future changed. We can change things, people, by how we live our life. So it can be used to set apart those who are called for special ministry. Here's another one, Acts 9:15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" All right? "Go, but the Lord said to him, 'Go, before he is a chosen vessel of mine, bear my name.'" In fact, let's just turn, if you've got your Bible, let's have a quick look at that. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. And it says this. In fact, we just back up a little bit. Let me just, I don't want to go back over it again in case it's over the page. Nope. Chapter 9 of Acts and verse 10. Here it's here. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias." See, disciple, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a teacher, not a fivefold ministry gift. He was a disciple, right? I'm emphasizing that for a reason. Because some people think it's only pastors, apostles, prophets. And it's not. The gifts of the Spirit are for the body of Christ. Paul saying desire spiritual gifts. He was talking to the church. "So there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, to him said the Lord in a vision." In a vision. In a vision. The Lord said to him, in a vision. Right? So there's different we talked about different manifestations, different ways that the Spirit of God will speak and how he reveal things. In a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight." So he's revealing a street to him. He's revealing supernaturally, revealing a street to him. "And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." How did he know that he was praying? Because God, by a word of knowledge, is revealing to him that he was praying. Here in a vision, God is showing Ananias that Saul of Tarsus is in a street called Straight, and in a house, and he's praying. All supernatural. Supernatural stuff here. He says, "Behold, he prayeth. And I've seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in." So God is telling Ananias where Paul is, what Paul's doing, and even telling him that God is saying, "I gave him a vision, and I gave him a word of wisdom, not a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom in a vision, because he saw you coming." So that hadn't happened yet. So that was future. Do you see how you can look at these scriptures and see the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom all mixed in together? And it was through a vision to Ananias and a vision to Paul. At the same time, God's talking to Paul and in a vision and saying, "There's a man going to come," and we're showing him future through a word of wisdom. All supernatural. People, this is for us. You can be praying and God can give you visions and dreams and revelations and words of knowledge and show you things to come and tell you who's coming to your door and shut. There's all things that can happen if we will expect it and believe God to walk in the supernatural. This isn't written just for, you know, just to fill some pages. This is written for our benefit to show how God operates and wants to continue, because he's the same God. So, verse 12, Ananias seen a vision of a man named coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Because you remember when Paul met Jesus and basically he lost his sight for 3 days, and that was God giving him a vision saying, "I'm going to send a man, he'll lay hands on you and you will be, your vision will come back to you again." God is doing this all supernatural. So let's move on. So it can be used apart to set people into ministry, because the purpose of this was, "But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Because he's like, "I'm not going to that guy. He's the guy that was killing Christians and having them slaughtered." So God had to speak to him and say, "Go, he's a chosen vessel of mine." God was revealing to Ananias, Saul of Tarsus is a chosen vessel of mine. There's times that God will reveal to you chosen vessels. They're not even walking with God. God can put on your heart and put on your life and when you're in your prayer life and show you. It can manifest to assure God's protection. Acts 27 and 33, 23 and 24 says this. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve," saying, an angel. Come on, people, an angel. We're talking about visions now, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and here now is a whole different ballgame. "For there stood by me this night, Paul, an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar." Word of wisdom. That's future. Because you know, you remember the journey that Paul had on the ships and stuff, all the shipwrecks and all the rest of it. Paul wasn't concerned because he knew God spoke to him where he was going. He says, you have to be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And if you read the rest of the story, that was when that ship was in a crazy thing. And it was the whole thing looked like it was going to be lost. And Paul went to those people. Now, he's a prisoner, remember. He's a prisoner. Right? And this prisoner goes and talks to the people on the boat. And those soldiers say, God, the angel of God spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me tonight and told me, don't be concerned for your lives because you're all going to be saved. But you have to do what I tell you to do. They had to have faith what Paul said. It was all supernatural. Paul's on a boat and the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him a word, gave Paul a word of wisdom. That all was going to be okay because I've got to take you. You are going to Rome. You're going to the palace. You're going to see Caesar. So don't look to what's happening. Don't look to the storms in life. That's why God does this supernaturally to our lives. He gives us words of knowledge and words of wisdom and things and reveals things to us so that when crazy things happen in our life, I'm telling you, me and my wife, the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge that God has given us, I mean, way back when we even first met, so many words of knowledge and words of wisdom in our life, and God was preparing us for the battles that was about to face us. And because we had those words of wisdom and words of knowledge in our life and profoundly spoke to us, divine intervention in our life, and we knew that what God was saying, and even when circumstances looked really adverse, I mean, even towards us getting married, crazy things, some things happened, right? And it just looked, but we knew because we had an experience with God and God revealed to us all supernatural. Sure, Tracy will get into some of that stuff, but I'm just going to leave that there. Supernatural saved our marriage even before it got kicked off, because the words of wisdom and words of knowledge basically can protect your life, because God knows what's coming down the road. And you can get ready for the battle. And that's why Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, because it's a good fight, because you'll always have the victory, but you have to stay close to him to keep the victory. Stay close to Jesus. So the word of wisdom and the gifts of prophecy. A clear distinction must be formed in our minds regarding the inspirational gift of prophecy and the word of wisdom in the New Testament. Prophecy simply encourages the hearers. There is no revelation in it. So when you look at the word of prophecy, and we'll get into this probably later on in the teaching in the next few lessons, but just quickly, the word of prophecy, when prophecy comes in the church, usually when prophecy comes, it's exhortation, comfort, and edification. There's no words of wisdom in it, and there's no words of knowledge within it. It's prophecy, right? Usually within the church. Now, what happens is this. The clear distinction must be formed in our minds regarding the spiritual gift of prophecy and the word of wisdom in the New Testament. Prophecy simply encourages the hearers. There is no revelation in it. Any person who speaks in the church and reveals the future has left the simplest of the gifts and has moved into the foremost gift, which is the word of wisdom. Prophecy in itself is usually exhortation, comfort, and edification. Once something comes about the future, you've left the gift of prophecy and you've started tapping into the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, which is future. Or it can be a word of knowledge, which is present or something that's happened. Like this week, we were ministering somewhere, and I was sharing the gospel, you know, with this person probably for, I reckon it was probably 2, maybe even 3 hours. Just, I knew what I was doing, just building the faith. This person was going through a really hard time, was struggling to understand certain things about the kingdom of God, wasn't even sure about what was going on. Just they were in a real hard place. So we were just sharing the word, just loving on them and sharing the word. And then we said, we're going to pray for you. Right? We're going to pray for you. And me and Tracy, we went over and we just laid hands on the person's back. And the minute we touched the person, the anointing just came. The Holy Spirit just came all over the person. And then I heard the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge just rose up within me. And I knew what was holding the person. It was a lie. It was a lie that the enemy was lying to this person about dishonoring their parents because the parents had different beliefs than they had and they didn't want to dishonor their parents. And the enemy was lying to them that if they basically didn't hold on to the old ways of thinking of their beliefs, because it was a different religion, that they would dishonor the parents. God revealed the whole thing. Right? And the minute I said that, I said, you need to renounce and reject that false religion for what it really is and stay focused on Jesus. The minute I said that, the power of God, boom, hit this person. I mean, like a sledgehammer. And all of a sudden, this person just starts laughing and starts crying and the tears are weeping like that. And I knew what it was. God was setting them free, delivering them. Absolutely setting them free. Why? Because the enemy, through a lie, was holding them by a lie of condemnation and of guilt, of holding on to something that was false, that wasn't true, because they thought that they would dishonor their parents. And God showed me the whole thing. He just showed, as I was praying in the Spirit, God showed me the whole thing. I says, you're not dishonoring your parents, because what they're actually holding on to is not even the truth. You're not dishonoring them. You're basically rejecting something that's not the truth. But you can honor your parents because you honor Jesus. And as you honor Jesus, God can do then mighty things within your family's life. Totally set the person free. Instantly. I mean, you would have seen, that if you had been there, you would have seen the difference instantly in the person's life. That's the power of a word of knowledge. Revealing something. Why they were trapped in certain ways, why they were just in that place of and couldn't just move on with God, holding on to something. And the enemy was bringing condemnation and guilt to them. Okay. So the world needs the gifts, right? The world needs the gift. Most cults are born because the church does not utilize the gift of God. That's why people go seeking cults and false religions. And all of these things, and Ouija boards, and all that stuff, because the church has not been operating in this stuff. If the church had prayed for the sick, Christian Science would have no place in the world. If the church moved in revelation gifts, like the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, there would be no need for the fortune tellers, crystal ball gazers, Ouija boards, and all the other deceptions of the devil. The world is now engulfed in the greatest wave of black magic and witchcraft it has ever known. And one reason for this is that the church is not operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So the people have been looking to the New Age stuff. And they've been going down that road. And what they don't realize, they might step into that realm. And they might get set, and the enemy might reveal certain things. But he's hooking them in big style and taking them down the road, on the road to hell. There is no salvation on that road. There is no salvation. And that's what they don't realize. So we've got to come to the fact, this quick story, give an example. When I went through Bible college, way 84, 85, I used to travel with this woman to and her husband to Bible college, about an hour and 20 minutes away. And I stopped at a certain place. We picked these guys up and go to the Bible college. She started telling me stories. She used to be involved with seances and seances, you know, what do you call them? Crystal ball readers along, mediums. She was involved, and how she got involved, people. Now, this is actually a nugget. This will actually help you. How she got involved with that stuff was this. She'd lost a son. She lost a kid at an early age. She was heartbroken and grieved. And some nice person introduced her and said, look, let's take you to this in the town hall in Motherwell and just outside Glasgow. Let me take you there. This woman will help you. And they took her to a seance and mediums. Well, she went there. And this medium basically told her and says to this woman, if you gave her this jug, and on the jug there was little boys around the bottom of the jug, and says, every time that you look at this jug and you're going through a hard time, just look at this jug and you'll see your son. She took the jug home in her house, and when she was in through bad times, she'd look at this jug and she'd hold on to this jug, and all of a sudden she'd have a manifestation of her son. It wasn't a manifestation of her son. It was a familiar spirit, people. She was conned. The Bible says when you leave this earth, there's only two places you go. You either go to heaven or you go to Hades, right? Now, we believe, obviously, it was a child soul in heaven. So what happened was that got a hold of her, that got attention. But you see, it wasn't bringing relief of grief, because she's seen her son. It was a manifestation of a spirit. The Bible talks about this, even Paul talks about this. You know, angels, it can appear as angels of light. That's why you've got to know the word of God and anything. And Paul, in fact, even makes statements and says, hey, if an angel comes to you and appears to you and says, walk around the couch three times and you'll be saved, you know that it's not the angel of God. Why? Because it doesn't line up with the word. It doesn't line up with the word. You're saved through believing in Christ Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why you got to know the word. So anyway, she goes down this line and she got caught in the whole thing. It's a long story, so I can't get into all of it. But anyway, to make the story short, so many things this woman told her, right? Why? Because that woman was operating under a familiar spirit, right? And was telling her things. And as she was believing it, it was like the enemy behind the scenes was setting up. So the enemy was telling her things, and then he was setting the things up because she had a belief in what was being said. The enemy was setting up, and then she was walking into it and thinking, oh, the woman really did know. No, the enemy was, do you understand what I'm saying? The enemy was setting the play up. He was telling the woman through the medium about certain things, and then that woman would walk into certain situations, and it would come to pass, the enemy was setting the play up. That's how they get caught. Well, anyway, one time the woman says to her, there'll be certain people come to your door, don't listen to them, don't even let them in. In fact, the woman told her one time she had cancer and told her, she went to the doctors, guess what she had? Cancer. Told her certain things wouldn't happen, it happened. She believed what this woman was saying. And there was three or four things that happened, major things that happened to her, right? But the last thing she says, there's people come to your door, don't let them in your house. Guess who the people were? Born again Christians, right? How did that medium know that? Because, hey, is there any spirits can see through? They can see what's going on in the world, right? There was Christians in that vicinity preaching the gospel. The enemy knew this was happening, right? And knew her door 99% was probably going to be chapped, right? So the spirit that's working through this woman basically tells her, don't answer the door. Anyway, she answered the door. She lets the people in. They were Christians. What happened was they ended up praying for her and she ended up getting healed of cancer. And then I ended up going to Bible college with her in 1984-85. God totally set her free. See, there is substitutes. There is the false. But the enemy gets people in. But the problem is what they don't understand. It's keeping them in grief. It's telling them all of these things, and what's happening is they're going down the road to hell. So we, the church, has to rise up, and we have to have the real stuff and the real deal to deal with this stuff, to counteract this. The gifts of the Spirit are the weapons of our warfare. The word of knowledge. The second gift is the revelation gifts as the word of knowledge. Knowledge deals with things as they now exist. So the word of knowledge deals as they exist at this point in time. Therefore, the word of knowledge is when God reveals to one his servant something that now exists or did exist on the earth. Now exists or did exist. This would be something you could not know naturally. It would be something your eyes had not seen and your ears had not heard. Normally, it would have to do with the meeting of a need. I'm driving a car. I'm in Scotland years ago. I'm helping my cousin to get her license, and I'm instructing her how to drive a car. We're driving the car. We're just outside Glasgow. Now, Glasgow's a city, but just outside Glasgow, there's a bit of countryside, not a lot, but a bit, and it's not really a place where I actually went, right? So we drive out this place, countryside. We're driving, and all of a sudden, my cousin turned around. She just started a church. She was a pastor of a church. We're driving, and she looked at me, and I said, what is it? I just knew there was something up. I said, what is it? She says, there's a cow in the middle of the road. And I looked at her, I said, a cow? I mean, it's just outside Glasgow, right? It's a major city. And I'm thinking, a cow in the middle of the road. We turned the corner, and here was the cow in the middle of the road. Word of knowledge. God showed her. Why did God show her that? To stop an accident. She slowed down, and God showed her a word of knowledge what was about to happen. There was a cow in the middle of the road. Just driving a car. Supernatural. I mean, you'd be flying in that corner, hit a couch, like hitting a brick wall. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God knows every person, every place, and shares miraculous knowledge with men, but he does not share everything, only a fragment of a word of knowledge. Listen, he's God. He knows all. But he shares little bits with us, right? He shares a little bit with us. He's God. We're serving him. But he will reveal partial things to us to help us on our journey. The word of knowledge can manifest in different ways. There are various ways that God can use to get the word of knowledge to man. We will look at two examples. Through a vision, John on the Isle of Patmos, which we've looked at, that was Revelations 1 and 10. For I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. He heard behind him, so it was in a vision, right? He was in the Spirit and saw a vision. And I told you the whole story. God starts revealing him words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the state of the churches we're in. Another account is in Ananias. And here's the account again. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus, and Ananias, to him the Lord said in a vision. See, it's a vision, Ananias. He said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise, go to the street straight, inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying in a vision, and he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." That was the whole vision. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Where he was to go. Ananias was not an apostle. He was not a pastor, an evangelist. The Bible calls him a disciple. He was just an ordinary church member. The Lord wills laymen can receive the manifestations of the word of knowledge as well as the ministers, as the apostles, as the prophets, the pastors and teachers. He was a disciple, but he was walking in the supernatural with God. All the way through the Bible, you'll see all these different people flowing in the supernatural. You don't need a label to flow. You don't need to wait till somebody puts a label on you to flow in the supernatural. You've got God in you. You've got Christ in you. The mighty Holy Spirit dwells within inside of us and can rise inside of us and give us all these things to operate in. But you have to ask. You have to believe. You have not. The Bible says, because what? Because you ask not. We've got to penetrate, worship God, believe God, thank God, and push into God and say, "Lord, these gifts are for your church, that your church can be blessed and also the world." We have to have a desire to do these things. I know that me and Tracy, in the last couple of years, but we're feeding on these things, we're feeding on these things. Even though I teach them, I still feed myself on these things. Why? Because I want faith to rise in my heart, to have a more expectancy when we go about the place to operate in these gifts. So in a vision, the Lord told Ananias to go to a certain house and pray for Saul. At the same time, he appeared to Saul in a similar vision showing Saul Ananias was coming. Ananias could not have known in the natural that in a certain house, in a certain street, a man named Saul was praying at that very moment. He would not have known it any other way but by supernatural revelation. Supernatural revelation, a word of knowledge. That's how he knew it. See, a word of knowledge comes to you. It doesn't just come to you and you're trying to reason. I wonder if this, that's not a word of knowledge. You know that you know that you know. It's not a reasoning thing. It's not trying to figure out something out in your mind. It's got nothing to do with your intellect and your reasoning realm. It's something you know inside of you. It's a knowing by the Spirit of God. You know that you know. That you know that you know. That you know. That you know that you know. You just know. Like I knew that I was going to marry Tracy. How did I know? Because God gave me a word of knowledge. I was in Nigeria. She was in Scotland. We'd only met each other for a couple of weeks before I went to Nigeria. And I'm in Scotland. I was in Nigeria on a missions trip in 1987. And sitting at a table, there was three of us. What were we doing? We were worshiping God. As we were worshiping God, I had certain questions in my heart. I was just talking to the Lord in my heart. I was 27 at the time. And I was asking the Lord, "Do you want me to be single? Because I'm getting on a bit now here, and it doesn't seem to be happening." Right? So just, if you're at that stage in life, just chill out. Right? Because God's got it all in control. Right? But if you seek God first, the Bible says, "Seek God first and his kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you." So I'm in Nigeria at the table, and I'm thinking these things in my heart, talking to the Lord. And the guy that I was with, we had a supernatural time for 5 solid hours. Whew, Jesus. Do you know that you can revisit things when you start to talk about them? We're sitting at that table for 5 hours. 5 solid hours, and the Spirit of God, the glory of God was at the table. and he came. And I had questions in my heart, asking God questions in my heart. I wasn't even speaking it verbally to these two guys that were sitting at that table, right? And he, this assistant pastor from the church from Scotland, for 5 hours, people, he never spoke one word of himself. I was asking questions in my heart. And even when we was fellowshipping with the other man at the other side of the table, he kept, by the Spirit of God, kept answering the questions by the Spirit of God. And God said to me, he didn't know what he's saying because he's just being the mouth of the Lord. I'm asking God questions. And God said to me, you choose. I'm like, I'm looking at this guy. This guy's just under the anointing, speaking the word of the Lord, saying, you choose. I asked the Lord about being married, and the Lord spoke out this man's mouth, who didn't even know what I was thinking, obviously. The Lord said to me, you choose. And I said to the Lord, in my heart, I didn't even speak it out at the table. I says, Lord, I want what you want. This guy comes straight back. I said, you choose. 3 times the Lord says, you choose. And then the Lord said this through this man. He says, speak her name out. And the minute this guy said this, right, all of a sudden, Tracy's name came right up in my spirit. Now, we hadn't been dating. We'd only met each other for a couple of weeks. We were in the church, right? I was on my road to the missions trip. I was on my road to Nigeria. I was busy with the ministry. Tracy had just come from New Zealand. She was over there, just living there for a period of time. And there was nothing. And right up in my spirit, I was shocked. God said, Tracy. And I was like, whoa. Right? Word of knowledge, that's your wife. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I said, I'm going to pray a prayer. No, the Lord said to me this. This was through this guy again, right? And he said, the Lord said to me through this man, he says, what do you desire in a woman? And he had no idea what I'd been thinking. God was really reading my mail. He was just reading my mail supernaturally. And then I in my heart, I said to the Lord, I said, I want da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I made a little list. I wrote it in my heart, right? Because these guys were sitting there. I didn't even tell them. And maybe Tracy will tell the rest of the story when she gets up. You can hang on to that one. All supernatural. It's too long to tell you, right? It's the long story how we met supernaturally. God is a supernatural God. It was all supernatural. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, visions. So a vision. Where am I now? Yeah. So in a vision, the Lord showed to Ananias through words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Another example, Peter fell into a trance and saw a vision. So here's another way now. So we've seen angels tonight speaking to Paul. We've seen men having visions, because there's open visions, there's internal visions. There's different types of visions you can have, right? There's visions you can have with your eyes open and see things with your eyes open, and God can show you things with your eyes open in a vision. Or there's your eyes closed and praying, and you see in your spirit a vision. It's a closed, what they call it, a closed vision. But the open vision is when your eyes are open and you see, even though you're in the natural, you're seeing something beyond what you're seeing. Different types of visions, different types of manifestations. Angels, visions, closed visions, open visions. Different ways that the Spirit of God will move. Like I told you, remember last week I told you the story? Gibran wasn't here, so we'll just quickly tell. One day I was laying on my bed praying, many years ago, lying there praying in the Spirit. See, praying in the Spirit. We're talking about being in the Spirit. I was, you want to get in the Spirit? Pray in the Spirit much. Praying in the Spirit, lying on my bed, and all of a sudden I saw a vision, but it wasn't an open vision. I saw it in my spirit. I saw in the vision, I saw myself on an airplane as I was praying in the Spirit. I went to the prayer meeting that night, and my cousin, because she was passing the church, her and her husband, and she said to me, we got a phone call today for you. I says, for me? And I says, what was it? Who was it? What was it about? She said, people from America, from Florida, Lakeland, Florida, had phoned and asked, would you come to America and play the bagpipes for the daughter's wedding? God was showing me. As I was praying in the Spirit, I believe I was also praying my future in, and God was showing me myself on a plane. And then from that point in, on when I actually got to the States, there were so many different supernatural things happen. Connections I have with men of God that I end up going to Honduras with. God was bringing divine connections through me praying in the Spirit, praying. See, the Bible says pray in the Spirit much. Why? You're praying the divine purposes, plans, and will of God over your life. That's what Paul talks about. You're praying mysteries. The word mysteries means plans, purposes, and plans of God. And God revealed that I was on a plane. And the same day, I got the phone call. And it just changed so many parts of my life and gave me some destiny to go to different countries and different things. I was traveling up on a bus to when I met the man in America, and he was living in the north of Scotland. He was an American guy, John Taylor, and traveled. He'd been in Honduras and Argentina, done missions in a jungle for over 25 years, this guy. God hooked me up with him. So when I came back to Scotland, I went to the north of Scotland, and as I'm traveling up to the north of Scotland on the bus, The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me on the bus. Clear, never forgot it, because even God's, it's eternal. And God spoke to me, and it was a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge altogether, and showed me a bit of my future. And he says, when you get to this destination where you're going just now, to the north of Scotland, and meet with this man, this is where he spoke to me. He says, from that border, you will cross many borders and go into different countries. That was 84, 85. And since that point in time, I ended up in Honduras, Nigeria, South Africa, all over America, now in New Zealand. I've preached in Australia. That was a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Flowing. God giving me glimpses, little glimpses of my future. He's interested in giving you glimpses. So the next day, Peter was on a housetop, and he drew near to the city. The next day, as they went on the journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. See, pray. He's praying. About the sixth hour, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. See, again, it's different. Into a trance. The Bible says, while he was thinking about the vision and what it meant, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And this is what happened. Acts 10 and 19 says, While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. So he's on the top. God shows him a vision. You know the vision, how the cloth came down and says, rise, eat. And he says, no, I'm a Jew. We don't eat ungodly things. God was revealing to him about bringing the Gentiles in. That was the vision, but the vision was. But as he's meditating on that vision, God said to him, arise, behold, three men are standing seeking you at the door. So God's telling him, who's at the door? There's men at the door for you. Peter could not have known the men were there. He had no way of knowing except that the Spirit of God told him. That was the word of knowledge in operation. Because they were standing at the door. So it was something that was happening right there, right now. The word of knowledge. Through the inward revelation. Sometimes the word of knowledge comes by inward revelation. An example is when Jesus dealt with the woman at the well of Samaria. John 14, 16 and 18 says, and Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said to Jesus, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Jesus knew that she was married five times and spoke to her and told her, even the husband that you're with now, the husband that you're with now, Jesus said to this woman at the well, the guy that you're with now is not your husband, but you've had five husbands before that. The word of knowledge was being revealed about her past and telling her what happened in her past, and even right to this point in time in history, was saying the guy that you're with is not even your husband. Well, what happened was this. She went into the city and she started telling everybody, a man told me about what happened in my life. And what it did, it brought a revelation of the Son of God on the scene. And she says, come. And it was bringing salvation to people's lives. They come because they wanted to hear Jesus, because he revealed something about their past. The words of knowledge will reveal things to people, and what they will want to know, the God you're serving. They want to know the God you're... The words of knowledge can bring a person to the knowledge of Christ. That's why when you're in countries and different places like Muslim countries, whatever, it's hard for them to hear things. But when you're flowing in the supernatural, the gift of faith and the supernatural miracles and the words of knowledge and the words of wisdom, and you are revealing things by the Spirit of God, they will bow their knee to the true and the living God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They will know that there is only one God. They will know because they will be convinced, because God will reveal things to them. God is waiting for these things to happen within us. We say we're waiting on God. No, God's waiting on us to rise up in these things. So he revealed what was going on. Jesus used the word of knowledge to convince her, a sinner, of her need for a savior. Convinced her through revealing things about her life that she needed a savior. Because he talked about, come and drink of this water and you'll never thirst again, right? So he was revealing, I will give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. But she was listening to him because he was telling her things about her life that nobody knew. And he could only know supernaturally. The gift of the word of knowledge is not to be confused with a person having knowledge of the Bible. Well, it's true that God helps us to understand his word and we receive knowledge from studying it. That kind of knowledge is not the supernatural gift that we're talking about tonight. That's knowledge from the word. We're talking about the supernatural word of knowledge by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost to reveal something supernaturally past or present. The word of knowledge does not come by experience. Another mistake idea about the gift of the word of knowledge is that it is very real knowledge which comes by walking with God. Another mistaken idea about the gift of the word of knowledge is that it's very real knowledge which comes by walking with God. It is true that one can receive knowledge of God by walking with him, but that knowledge is different from supernatural knowledge. So yes, we can walk with God. Yes, we can read his word. And yes, we can get to know him through his word. That's still supernatural, but it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the manifestations of the word of knowledge about a circumstance or a situation. It's supernatural, and it happens by the presence of the Holy Spirit revealing himself in these situations. 1 Samuel 3:10-13 says, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and spoke, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at both ears, and everyone who hears it will tingle. Their ears will tingle, he said to Samuel. In that day I will perform against Eli and all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to the end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons was made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. So Eli's sons were doing crazy things in the temple. Right? You can read the whole story in your own time. They were doing crazy things. God tried to warn them. They wouldn't listen. Right? He told Eli about it. Eli never dealt with what was going on. So now God is revealing to Eli what's about to happen in his son's future because of their behaviors and because of what, and how they're acting in life and because of the holy things that they're messing with in that temple. God was revealing things supernaturally. God wants to reveal. Okay, we're going to take a break there. So do you get that? God is the revealer of the supernatural gifts, but you have to have an expectation. It's all down to you. Why is it down to you? Because you have to have faith and believe for it. You have to ask God for it, believe God for it, and step into it. Because if you ask God for it, he will do it. So when you're walking around shopping centers, whatever, have an expectancy for God to speak to you so that you can change a person's life. This week, we have changed some people's lives because, not because of us, people, but because of him. Because we serve him. Because it's Jesus, the lover of our soul and the lover of people's souls, and he wants to touch and set the people free. And so the more we walk with him and have an expectancy, he will do what he said he will do. You have to believe. And how you believe? You believe by studying. Don't just go over these notes and read the stories, and you'll see just how much supernatural the Bible really is. And all these stories, every single part of the Bible is supernatural. And you'll start to have the faith to believe for it. Amen. Take a break.
Right, I hadn't looked behind me, so I didn't realize everybody is over there at that angle. So let me switch the angle of this little podium, and then we're kind of looking in the right direction. Okay, so we're going to have a look at four examples in the Old Testament of the gift of the word of knowledge and operation. Okay, because they're mainly mentioned by name only in the New Testament, many Christians think that the gifts of the Spirit are a New Testament phenomenon. But in actual fact, all of the gifts of the Spirit, except for divers, tongues, and interpretation, were all in operation in the Old Testament. So we're going to have a look at four examples of different reasons and different circumstances where the gift of the word of knowledge was in operation. So the first one is a word of knowledge to encourage Elisha. Okay, so words of knowledge can come through us to encourage someone else. All right, we need to be expectant. So this is one that encouraged Elijah. So Elijah had been very bold up on the mountain where he'd prayed down fire from heaven. And when someone told him that Jezebel was going to have his head taken off, he became fearful and ran away. Now, isn't that funny? We can be like, yay, look what God's doing in our life. Whoopee-doo, there is a God. He's great. He's awesome. Yay. Next minute, someone tells us a story and we get fearful and we run away and we go into hiding. Sounds like it happens in everyday life. Amen? So we're not alone. It happened thousands of years ago and it's happening today. All right? So we don't beat ourselves up about that. So 1 Kings 19, verses 2 to 4 and 14 to 18. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She was obviously a very powerful woman. She must have had a mother's voice on to make the prophet of God run and hide. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. I mean, that's bad. One minute he's seeing this fire of God come down and perform miracles and outdo the false gods. Next minute, he's running for his life, he's scared, and he's praying, "Oh, could I just die here, Lord?" Having a pity party. Has that happened in your lives? We're so fickle with our emotions sometimes. Whoopee! And then something happens that threatens us. Next minute, we're like, "Oh, can I just die now, God? Can I check out? Can the ground open up? Can you swallow me up? I want to check out." We forget about the miracle that God just did like yesterday. We've got to keep our eyes on God. But the wonderful thing about God is he's so gracious. I love it. He's so gracious. He speaks to us. He knows when to come and encourage us. He knows when to reach out his hand and pull us back up. He's so loving. He doesn't beat us over the head and say, "Oh, come on, did you forget about yesterday? I'm not talking to you until you get yourself out of your pity party." He's such a gracious father. He works with us. He loves us. And here He gave a word of encouragement to Elijah. He said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." So he's telling God everything he's done. God already knows. God already knows. And we skip a few verses, and God encouraged him. God told him a word of knowledge that he didn't know. He thought he was alone. Have you ever felt like you're alone in life? Like you're the only one. I'm the only one going through this, God. Are you listening to me? God was gracious. God revealed a word of knowledge to him. God said, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." How gracious is that? And that encouraged Elijah. It encouraged him to live another day. Imagine that. We need words of knowledge. We need to be encouraged. So how precious is it? We can actually get words of knowledge from God ourselves, but how precious is it as saints that we can give someone else a word of knowledge? And that happened to me today. I was studying today for this evening. And today I went to the supermarket halfway through the day and I saw a woman that I know. She was outside the supermarket and she goes to a previous church that we used to go to before we planted fully in Shake All Nations. I haven't seen her for a month. She's 6 months pregnant. She has 3 children. She was telling me she woke up today extremely tired and she felt heavy and she felt not well in her stomach. And then as the conversation flowed, she actually said to me, I'm a little bit concerned because my 3 previous children came prematurely at the 6-month mark. And that's the mark she's at today. And straight away, out of my spirit, it just flowed. Because remember, I'm in the spirit. I'd been praying all morning. Out of my spirit flowed a word of knowledge. I said, no, this is different. You had those 3 children prior to being born again. I said, you're a different spirit. You have got the spirit of God Almighty inside of you. And this child is not coming out until the child is fully cooked by God. God will speak to us in the vernacular that we understand and get the message across. Amen. And that was a word of knowledge. I felt her take heart in that. And I felt the fear ebb away because she kind of sees me like a spiritual mother. And I felt it go away. And then I prayed for her. And she would have been entirely different because I see what was happening. The sore tummy was because there was an anxiety coming. Am I going to have my 4th child prematurely at month 6? So isn't it very precious that we can be prepared, we can be alert. Yeah, we go into the supermarket and how boring it is sometimes to have to go and get the groceries. But we can be alert. We can be thinking, okay, have that antenna up. Here am I, God, use me. And you just be on the lookout in your spirit. That's all. Just awaken your spirit and bang, there's someone there right before you and it flows right out of your heart. And how many times has it happened to all of us? We actually think we're just having natural, we just think we're having conversations. But I reckon there's times when the Lord is using us in the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom or gift of prophecy. We don't even know it because it just comes out of our spirit. But how precious it is to the other people who need to be encouraged. Amen? So be encouraged. Be awake, alert. Every morning I say, thank you, Lord. And I say, here am I. And I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit operating through me. And I have an expectancy. Amen? Amen. And it's not always just for a church service. Okay, the second example, a word of knowledge to reveal the truth. After Naaman was healed of leprosy, now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, so he's very high up. Now, after Naaman was healed of leprosy, he went to give Elisha. Elisha was the man of God, a prophet in that day. He went to offer and give him clothes and silver and gold to express his gratitude. Elisha the prophet, however, refused the gifts, but his servant Gehazi ran after Naaman and lied to him. Look what greed does to you. Greed. He was a greedy servant, and he was deceived. He's a servant hanging out with the prophet, and he thought he could go and get away with lying and stealing and get away with it. Hanging out with the prophet, hello, but he gave it a shot, didn't he? He gave it a go. And so he ran after and lied to him. He said, 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to visit Elisha, and can I have some silver and clothes? And then after that, he went and he stood before his master. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? Now, he knew full well where he went. He just wanted to know. He said, you know, like, are you going to tell me the truth? Where did you go? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. That's like little children, isn't it? Lying to get out of trouble. And you're the parent. And like, mother's spirit, we got this like thing like a sixth sense. Like, we just got intuition. Like, we know you are lying. Yeah? They lie to try and get away with it. They lie to get out of trouble. Happens in the adult world too. It happened in here. And he said to him, Elisha said, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Not that time. He says, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. Ouch. There was a consequence to pay. A consequence to pay for him lying and stealing, and then secondarily lying face to face to a prophet of God. It's not good. It's not good. There's consequences. So the word of knowledge came to reveal the truth. I love it. I was like operating, you know, I was operating that as much as I could with the children or with the teenagers. I'm like, no, there's something up with that story. Okay, come on, God. I'd get in the prayer closet. Come on, God, what's going on? Because I wanted to know the truth. Because the truth keeps people safe. Amen? If we get into the enemy's territory of lying, oh, hello, he'll have his way. But the truth keeps people safe. So it's a wonderful thing to be operating in the words of knowledge. It's so precious. We need it. We need it in our families. We need it as married couples. We need it as parents. We need to have that word of knowledge operating in our lives so that we can understand and know the truth when lies present to us. Amen? My example of that is several months ago, our son, he had a best mate that was living in Auckland, and through circumstances, he wasn't born again, he committed suicide, and it was very suddenly. His mates and that didn't know it was happening. His parents didn't know it was happening. He's actually, you know, he actually had a solid job. He had a good girlfriend, and it was a suddenly. So it was very devastating to our son because he was like a brother to this person. So the short story is this. It was also a friend to our daughter's boyfriend who came over to Australia for the funeral. And on the day that he arrived over for the funeral, it was the day where all of the friends were going around to the home because the son was lying there to be viewed. And our daughter's, I like to say, future husband, he came to our door 3 o'clock in the morning. Do we look like we woken at 3 in the morning? We don't have teenagers anymore. He appeared at 3 in the morning, half drunk with his mate, going, where's Daniel, where's Daniel, where's Daniel? That's our son. And we said, what is going on? You know, we're woken from our sleep. The Rottweiler's barking his head off at 3 in the morning. What is going on? You know, and hello, future son-in-law, I haven't seen you for months and you arrived half drunk, you know, that thank God I believe that you're going to marry my daughter. Grace abounds. And he was concerned. They were concerned because our son had gone to view the body of his best mate that had passed away, and it was too much for our son. And he went. And these two guys had gone around to the family home he was staying in, and all the lights were on. Nobody was home. They were actually concerned for our son's life, just in case, because grief to young people can be very devastating. And they were concerned. And the next minute, the police are at the end of my driveway, and I'm like, this is like drama. And also the police had come across these two wandering the streets of Whakatane looking for my son. And the police said, yes, we're also looking for your son. Okay, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm out there in my dressing gown. I said, Lord, is our son okay? Straight away, word of knowledge, he's okay. I believed it because I know the voice of the Lord. So I told these two, he's okay. It's all right. We ministered to them, even in their drunken state. And they believed. I said, he's actually okay. And I believed it to the degree. I just went straight to bed and fell asleep. So thank you, God. A word of knowledge revealed the truth. And sure enough, the next day, he'd just gone to a mate's place to sleep it off because it was all too much for him. That's why he hadn't gone home. He was perfectly safe. But a word of knowledge revealed the truth to me that he was okay and I slept well. I did not worry, nothing. We need to lean into God because circumstantial evidence, we could have been frantic. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Running around the streets of Whakatane in the car looking for our son. Ridiculous. So thank God for those words of knowledge, amen. So a word of knowledge given is a warning of the enemy's plans. Now, every time Syria set up a trap against Israel, the prophet of God revealed their plans to the king of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants, and he said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, there was no spies in the camp. Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. I love it. Very, very powerful. I love it. Very prophetic and very powerful. And again, giving as a warning to the enemy's plans. We need that when we're bringing up our children. We need that when we're running our ministry. We need that as youth ministers when we're driving youths in vans all over the place. We need those warnings. Amen? Just like Danny's told the story about the badminton that he went to when he was on the farm and he went to badminton, the Lord tried to witness in his spirit, don't go to badminton, something's going to happen. And I recall too, when we were on the badminton courts, I wasn't playing, but it came out of my spirit. I said, watch out for Heidi. Heidi was who he was partnered with. It just came out of my spirit. We need to recognize sometimes that when we're speaking a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to other people, our voice isn't going to change like, thus saith the Lord. It's not. It's going to come out in a very conversational tone of voice. But the Bible says, let he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, saying to his children. That's why we have to, as much as we can, draw close to God. So we can hear when someone is speaking to us and we, hey, that's a word of knowledge, that's a word of wisdom. I take that on board. Amen? Because that was two warnings that day. That was two warnings of the enemy's plan that Danny got, and he didn't heed them, and he nearly lost his sight and one eye. It is so, when you get that warning, if you just get like an irk in your heart, go with it. If you don't hear any words, just go with it and think, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to, even if it sounds like a good idea and you think that's ridiculous, don't go. Heed the warning. Amen? You won't know till you go home to be in heaven the things that have been avoided just simply because you've been obedient. Amen? You won't know, but just obey. Even if people around you back say, no, you'll be right, mate, you'll be right. No, you won't be right, mate. The Lord's trying to give you a word of knowledge in advance. Take on board the word of knowledge, even under peer pressure, okay? Don't let people pressure you into doing something that God has said don't do, all right? He's the best warning bell of our lives. Okay, the fourth example is a word of knowledge to help find that which was lost. That's my favorite. Saul was out looking for his father's donkeys, which had strayed. It was suggested to him to go and ask Samuel concerning the whereabouts of the donkeys, and Samuel was able to tell him a word of knowledge. So 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 to 4, 6, 19 to 20. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, please take one of the servants with you, arise and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim, he went through the land of Shalisha, and he didn't find them. And then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, and they did not find him. How many times have we wasted time in life looking for something that's lost, and we simply could just ask God, hello? God, who knows everything? That's why I say it's my favorite. I learned it at a young age in my 20s. I learned it from a beautiful grandmother, woman of God, who said, I always ask the Holy Spirit, where's this and where's that I've lost? I learned it at a young age and I adopted it. And so any time in our household, you know, Dan would say, where's this? I just quickly drop into that place, listen in, and I would just see it. I would just get a picture of where it is. And it just became a natural habit. I didn't even know actually until like doing that. But there was words of knowledge. All right. And then one day I turned around and said, excuse me, had enough of you leaning on the gifts through me. You know, when you lose things in your home and the kind of somehow the wife knows, whether the wife knows because she's just passed it and seen it, or you just, the Holy Spirit shows us. So I said to Danny, come on now, ask God, Holy Spirit, he knows where it is. He'd lost his wallet. I said, come on, lean in there. Where is it? And without a shadow of doubt, it's the first time I've seen him do it. The Lord showed him a picture. We had these couches with these big cream cushions. The Lord showed him a picture that the wallet had slid right down behind the cushion. He went there straight away. That's exactly where it was. And we probably wouldn't have actually looked down there because you would have thought, how did it get down there behind the couch cushions? And we would have spent hours looking. And who knows, in a household, sometimes when something's lost or the car keys are lost, there can be a little bit of friction arriving, can't there? Where is it? You had it. Where did you put it last? Yeah. But the words of knowledge to find something that was lost saves time, saves emotional energy, and can even save some form of strife or division. Amen? It's very valuable, precious. Just hook in there. Okay, Holy Ghost, come on. You know exactly where it is. Practice it, all right? Because that's one that I just love doing it. I think it's funny. I can find it. Okay, so here we go. And he said, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says shall surely come to pass. Let us go there to the man of God. Perhaps he's going to show us. So Saul asked Samuel. He bumped into Samuel and he said, where is the seer? Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. And then like a by-the-by, meantime. As for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. Isn't that awesome? It's like us going to God. Old Testament, they went to the prophets. We can go straight to God. Amen. I love it. Straight to God. Have an expectant heart. So the purpose of the gift today, anytime God conveys information supernaturally, which has to do with what is in existence now, it is a word of God's knowledge. Now, in operation, this gift would solve many problems in the churches. Amen. It would even solve many national problems if the leaders of the nation had confidence and faith in God. Okay, so just to give you an example, I firmly believe that Donald Trump in America is hearing from God with some issues. Amen? He's going all out to support Israel. That is on God's heart and God's mind. And he is going against the friction even of the United Nations, the peer group pressure. He's saying we are going to be a backup and we are going to support Israel. So I know that is on the heart of the Father who loves Israel and says, pray for the peace of Israel. So that I know that Donald Trump is hearing from God. Amen? He's not hearing from the devil. Summary, although there are 9 individual gifts of the Spirit, it is quite common for one or more to operate at the same time. The gifts of the word of wisdom and knowledge are not merely natural wisdom and knowledge, but supernaturally revealed from God. Amen? And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is that we can be used of God to go around and to reveal to people what's going on now and their future. When you do that, even with strangers or sinners, it's like, uh-oh, there is a God, because you don't even know that. Amen? So be expectant. Be expectant so that we can win people to Jesus and also that we can have more peace in our lives. Because of all these examples of the word of knowledge, they're very valuable. They create shortcuts in our world and they come and they bring solutions. And they come and they thwart the plans of the enemy. When the enemy, he's got plans to trip us up. It might be as simple as, you know, like making sure we forget something or we forget where we put our keys. He can be doing that because he knows it's going to cause strife and division, or it could cause you to be late for a meeting, or it could cause you not to come to church. Hasn't that happened where you've lost the keys to your car and after half an hour, oh, forget it, you can't find it, and you don't even go to church that day? It could be a plan of the enemy. Yeah? Oh, okay, so us getting together supernaturally, that's how come we have stayed together for 30 years, because of the Rhema, the word of the living God, amen? So at the same time, he was in Nigeria. Now what happened was when I joined the church, I was 21, so I just slipped in with the youth group, which was like young adults going up to young adults age. He's one of the youth group leaders, so we'd only come across each other at youth group, all right? And I think he'd give me a lift home one time. At the same time he was in Nigeria, God was talking to him. Yay, God was talking to me. Remember Ananias and Saul? God was showing the vision to both of them at the same time. So I had gone to a concert. I'd gone to a youth concert, and I went home and I worshipped the Lord, and I saw a vision. I saw myself down the aisle in a wedding dress with Danny. We hadn't even dated. We hadn't even kissed. Nothing. Zero. And it was pure. It was beautiful. And then I write prophetic poetry. And I'd written a poem, and it's like it just, obviously it was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And it was like prophetic, it was like a proposal. And I thought, oh, okay, well, he'll come back from Nigeria, because I knew it was God, everything was supernatural, everything was Jesus, because I was just born again. And I thought, he's going to come back from Nigeria. I said, God, you must be telling him he's going to come back, he's going to propose, and away we go. And then I thought, I'll give him this poem as a confirmation. Because the poem, and it was definitely like a proposal that we're going to get married and we're going to join hands and create a clan. You know, that's a Scottish tribe, meaning kids. So anyway, he comes back from Nigeria, and he was back in town 3 weeks, and there was nothing. He was wrestling with God, right? He'd also received two more words of knowledge from two different people. He needed to hear from God three times to be convinced, because he just thought, oh, she's just born again, goodness me. I've been at this for 6 years and been to Bible college. Oh, Right. God is smart, eh? And so, yeah, he was back after 3 weeks, and then he was praying for a youth event. He was praying for the youth group that night, and the Lord spoke to him, said, phone Tracy up and take her to the pictures, Jesus. Well, he just thought that was the devil. I bind you, devil. You're disturbing me. I'm praying for the youth group. Oh, dear. You can imagine how it's gone, eh, the last 30 years. So he keeps on praying. He hears it again. And then he thought, well, the picture of Jesus has been on for ages. It's probably off by now. He didn't believe it. He phoned up the secretary at the church. Is that movie still on? Yeah, okay. So then he phones. That was the last night for the movie. Then he phones me. I was all excited. I was at work at the bank. He phones me, well, do you want to go to the movies? I thought, yay, marriage is coming soon. Hello, 3 weeks later. So I was so excited. I'd already seen the movie, but I didn't care. We're going on a date. This is my husband. I've seen it. So we went to the movies to see the picture of Jesus. Of course, he didn't see it because I just talked the whole way through, didn't I? And then we supernaturally from there, we come out of the movie theater and we went out for coffee after that. And he had a prophetic word. He sang me a song in like the Burger King prophetically. Isn't that neat? Isn't that romantic? We don't need to go around like holding hands, kissing and all that kind of stuff for dating. We need to be. Yeah, yeah. So he prophetically sung a song to me in this Burger King thing. And it was just so beautiful. And then we went up to my flat, and I'm up there, and we just talked and talked and talked, you know, and like nothing's happening. There's no proposal coming. We were talking till 5 a.m. in the morning. And all of a sudden, I felt on my heart, I'm just 21, right? Just committed my life to Christ, okay? And I felt on my heart, I've got to give him the poem. I thought, that's ridiculous, Lord. It's like the proposal. And he's not said a word, not said boo. So I'm like not the daredevil, but yeah, like the go-getter, all right? Annie, get your gun, all right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to give him that poem. So I gave him that poem, and he says that when I gave him the poem, he knew in his spirit, oh, it's something to do with marriage. I gave him the poem, and it was like a minute later. It seemed like forever, because I'm thinking, oh, have I missed it? How embarrassing. He's not going to propose. This is ridiculous, you know, when time seems to be going on forever. But it was such a holy anointed time. He read that poem, and a minute later, this is the truth, he got on his knees and he proposed to me. Yeah, wow. We hadn't even kissed. All right, write that down. Yeah, the poem was a prayer about God, you know, and we're going to serve the Lord and create bundles of joy, the kids. And you know, it was just godly. It was just a godly thing. And he did that, you know, and we just talked. We talked about our future. I don't know how many kids we're going to have. We were off our face drunk in God, okay? We were gone. He went back home. He was staying with the associate pastors at that time. Went back home 5 a.m. Now, I had to get up at 7 to go to work in the bank all day. I did it supernaturally, you know, love, high altitude, woo-hoo, loving some coffee and chocolate, all right? So I had two hours sleep, and he goes home. We were staying with the pastors. He had to walk, I don't know, he didn't have a car, wouldn't have a clue. Anyway, he walked home, and they got up, and he told them what had happened, and they didn't believe him. That is ridiculous. She just went out to the movies. What do you mean you're engaged? What is that? Okay, supernatural. And then I got it's like the Sanhedrin. I was taken before like these big yo mamas, you know, spiritual, to check me out. Like, what is this hussy doing coming in and stealing this man of God? You know, they didn't tell me that. They didn't have to. I know what they were thinking. Okay, because they were like very motherly and protective, especially one towards him, like a spiritual mum. I thought, talk to God. I don't know. God did it, all right? So that's how God got us together. So you can imagine me as a youth pastor. I'm like, I don't believe any of you. You don't need to date to see if you get on with each other. Just ask God. He knows. Is that your husband? If not, someone else's husband. Get your sticky hands off him. I'm sorry. I'm convicted. It happened to me. Supernatural. Hadn't even kissed, engaged. All right? It's the end of our story. Right there. That was the beginning. Yeah, 30 years later and 2 kids later. Yeah, no grandkids yet, but I'm sure they're coming. Anyway, so bless you. Okay, so be encouraged. The supernatural, prophetic words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning, the prophecy of God, it's out there to tap in, okay? Remember, I was tapping in and I just had given my life to Christ, amen? So bless you, and we'll see you all next week, amen?